ever feel like you're totally chained to your business, like you are the business?
Yeah, I think a lot of entrepreneurs probably feel that way. It can be a real trap.
For sure. And today we're diving into Built to Sell by John Warlow to, well, figure out how to break free.
It's a classic for a reason, right?
Right. It walks us through how to transform a business that completely depends on you into one that can actually thrive without you.
And that makes it way more attractive to a buyer down the line, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's more relevant now than ever, I think.
Yeah, the market's so different now. Buyers are looking for businesses that are systems-driven, not personality-driven.
Exactly. And Built to Sell really lays out how to do that.
Definitely. It follows this ad agency owner, Alex Stapleton, who's totally burnt out and wants to sell.
He thinks his agency's worth a fortune, of course.
Naturally. But his mentor, Ted, gives him a harsh reality check.
Oh, yeah. Ted basically tells him, in its current state, your business is practically worthless.
Ouch. Right. But it's the truth for a lot of business owners, I think.
I think so, too. They pour everything they have into their business.
Become the expert.
And then they're trapped.
Exactly. So why is Alex's business essentially worthless?
Well, because he is the business. Clients only want to work with him. His employees are generalists, easy to replace.
And cash flows all over the place.
Sound familiar to anyone out there?
Maybe. But luckily, Built to Sell gives us a way out.
It does. And it all starts with specialization.
Right. Ted tells Alex to stop being a generalist marketing agency. Find a niche.
I love how the book actually walks us through this. They go through everything Alex's agency offers.
And what do they find?
A hidden gem.
Yeah.
His 5-step process for designing logos. He's known for it. Clients love it.
He gets results.
And what makes it really brilliant is that it's not just, you know, some artistic talent.
It's repeatable. It's teachable.
And think about it. A good logo design can last for years.
But eventually they'll need a refresh, a new product line. It's ongoing.
It's about finding the core of what you do well, something clients constantly come back to you for.
And turn it into a product.
Yeah. And that's where a lot of business owners get stuck.
Totally. They think, I'm selling a service. How can I possibly productize that?
But it's not about changing what you do. It's about changing how you think about it.
How you structure it.
Right. And this shift, this mindset shift from service to product, it actually makes your business stronger today.
Right now. Even before you even think about selling.
Why is that?
Well, think about it. Specialists can command higher prices. They're the experts.
And they attract better clients.
Clients who are willing to pay for that expertise.
And you don't get stuck in those awful price wars.
Ugh, the RFP trap. You spend hours on these proposals, and then someone undercuts you by, like, half.
A race to the bottom. Nobody wins.
Exactly. And when you start thinking about your service as a product, you start to see the value in packaging it, branding it, charging for it differently.
So how does Alex actually productize this logo design process?
Well, he gives it a name, of course. The 5-step logo design process. He creates a brochure. And here's the big one. He starts charging up front.
Ooh, that's a big one.
I know. This is where a lot of people get nervous, right?
Yeah, because they're used to the, you know, traditional model.
Do the work, Bill. Wait 60 days to get paid.
It's a cash flow nightmare.
A nightmare. Especially these days with late payments and everything.
Oh, totally. So much uncertainty.
But when you charge up front, you're working with the client's money. You become a cash generator.
Not a cash suck.
Much healthier position to be in.
Both for running your business now.
And for attracting those buyers later on.
So why does charging upfront matter so much to a potential buyer?
Because a cash flow positive business is less risky.
Makes sense.
A buyer doesn't want to come in and have to deal with all these outstanding invoices.
I mean, when they're going to see that money.
Right. They're looking for a well-oiled machine.
A business that's just generating revenue predictably.
Exactly. And that's what charging upfront helps you create.
And again, it's not just about the sale. It makes your business stronger today.
Give you more control over your finances.
Okay, so Alex has his product. He's charging up front. But now he needs a team.
To help him scale this thing. Yeah.
Right. And this is where I think he makes another really common mistake.
What's that?
He assumes that he needs like a typical ad agency salesperson.
Someone all polished and service oriented.
Yeah, focused on those relationships, those custom solutions.
But that's not the right fit for a product-based business.
It's not. And this is another one of those aha moments in the book.
One of many. What does Ted advise?
He tells him to hire product salespeople instead.
Interesting.
Yeah, people who are comfortable selling a defined offering. process-driven, numbers-focused.
They know how to position that product to meet different needs.
Without customizing it for every single client.
Which I know can be a really tough adjustment.
Oh, yeah. Especially for those business owners who are used to saying yes to everyone.
But think about it. If you've standardized your service,
yeah,
you've created a product.
You need a sales team that can sell that.
Otherwise, they're undermining the entire system you built.
And that brings us to another key point. Saying no, even when it's really hard.
And this is where the discipline comes in, you know? Yeah. Because Alex gets this call from a big client.
Huge client.
Prestigious, the kind most agencies would, like, kill for.
I bet.
And they want a full ad campaign.
The whole shebang.
Not just a logo.
Oh, I can see why that would be tempting.
Oh, for sure.
Big revenue boost, right?
In the short term, yeah. But Ted's like, nope, you gotta say no.
Say no. Why is that so important?
Well, because it's about sticking to your specialization, right?
Right.
Accepting this project, it's like sending mixed messages.
Like, you're not really a logo specialist.
Exactly. You probably need to bring back generalist staff, go back to that old service model.
All that progress, gone.
It's a tough lesson, you know, but sometimes you have to say no to good money.
To reach those long-term goals.
It's about building that brand, that reputation as the expert.
The go-to person for logos.
And that's what lets you charge those premium prices.
What sets you apart?
Oh, okay, but if you're turning down work, how do you make up for that lost revenue?
Right. Good point.
Sales engine. Ted helps Alex put together a 3-year business plan.
Which buyers want to see, right?
Oh, absolutely. They want to see growth, a vision.
You're not just thinking small time.
Exactly. And Ted has this great piece of advice. Think big.
Even if, you know, the acquirer might scale back your projections later.
It's like the Starbucks analogy. They didn't start by saying, let's put a coffee shop on every corner.
But they had that ambition.
That world domination.
So you need that big vision.
And you also need a strong moat.
A moat. Like around a castle.
Kinda. It's your competitive advantage. What protects you?
Makes your business uniquely valuable.
Right. It could be a process, like Alex's 5-step thing.
Right.
But it could also be something like, I don't know, owning an industry event.
An annual conference. Something like that.
Exactly. Or some sort of ranking system.
Hmm. Interesting.
So you're not just selling yourself, you're selling the business.
You're selling a system.
A brand, a proven model. That's what makes it sellable.
Okay, so you've got the system, you're ready to sell.
Yeah.
How do you actually start that process?
Advisor. Finding the right advisor is key.
Someone to guide you through all this.
Yeah. And the book suggests going with a boutique M&A firm.
As opposed to like a general business broker.
Yeah, because they understand your niche.
They speak the language.
And they know how to talk to those strategic buyers.
The ones with the deep pockets.
Who are looking for those synergies, right? Those businesses that fit perfectly.
Okay, so you've got your advisor. You're ready to talk to buyers. What comes next?
You need a teaser and a book.
Like a movie trailer.
Kinda. The teaser is a high-level overview.
To get them interested.
And if they're hooked, then they sign an NDA and get the full book.
Which is like the whole enchilada.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Financials, projections, customer lists, the whole 9 yards.
Okay. And what about different types of buyers? I know the book mentions strategic buyers and financial buyers.
Ah, yes. Strategic buyers are usually the ideal scenario.
The dream.
They're looking for companies that complement their own operations.
Like puzzle pieces fitting together.
Exactly. Yeah. So they'll often pay a premium.
Because they see those synergies, those potential cost savings.
It's not just buying a business, it's buying a strategic advantage.
Makes sense.
Now, financial buyers, on the other hand,
they're all about the numbers.
ROI, baby! They might be private equity firms, individual investors.
So they're less likely to pay top dollar.
Yeah, they're not as concerned with strategic fit.
So how do you bring your team into all of this? This idea that you're selling the business.
Transparency. You got to get your management team on board early.
But that's got to be a tough conversation.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, I'm selling the company we built together.
Yeah. New boss coming soon, potentially.
Yeah. How do you handle that?
Positive spin. Emphasize the opportunities.
Bigger projects, more resources.
Exactly. It's not about abandoning them. It's a new chapter for everyone.
And of course, there's the, you know, the financial aspect.
The elephant in the room, right.
Yeah, you, the founder, you're the one getting the big payout.
It's true, and you got to be upfront about that.
Be honest,
but also paint that positive picture of the future.
Okay, so you've got your team on board.
Right.
You're getting serious with buyers.
Yeah.
What happens next?
So you've got the team prepped. You've got your story straight. What happens when a buyer is ready to, you know, put their money where their mouth is?
They make an offer.
Right. That's when you get the letter of intent.
The LOI.
It lays out all the key terms, the price, the payment structure, any contingencies.
So this is it, huh?
This is where it gets real.
What happens in the book?
Alex gets a pretty sweet offer. $6 million upfront, plus another $3 million possible, depending on how the business does later on.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Right. But as Ted wisely points out, getting the offer is just the first hurdle.
What comes next?
Due diligence.
Due diligence.
Yeah.
Sounds scary.
It can be. Think of it like a financial colonoscopy for your business.
Oh, boy.
The buyer, they're going to go through everything.
Financials, contracts.
Customer data, the whole nine yards, looking for any red flags.
Any reason to back out.
Or to lower their offer.
Yeah.
So even with a letter of intent, you're not out of the woods yet.
So all that prep work really matters.
Oh, absolutely. This is where having those systems in place, clean financials, strong moat, it all pays off.
Because if they find problems.
Inconsistencies, hidden dependencies. They'll use that to try to renegotiate.
So even after you've got that offer,
yeah,
you still got to be ready to fight for it.
In a way, yeah. And this is where, remember, Ted had Alex write down his walkaway number.
Oh, yeah, right at the beginning.
Before things get emotional.
So you know what you're willing to accept, no matter what.
Exactly. It keeps you grounded when the pressure's on. And guess what happens to Alex?
They try to lowball him.
Oh, yeah. They find a few things during due diligence, and suddenly the offer's not so sweet anymore.
Must have been heartbreaking.
Oh, totally. It's easy to feel like they're trying to take advantage, right?
Yeah, like after all this work.
But he has that walkaway number. He knows what he's willing to walk away from, even if it means leaving money on the table.
That's got to be tough.
It is. But it works. The buyer, they come back with a slightly better offer.
So it pays to stand your ground.
It does. And in the end, Alex sells his business. Maybe not for as much as he initially hoped, but it's still a huge success.
Yeah, it's his freedom.
And a nice payday. And that's really what Built to Sell is all about.
Creating something that you can actually walk away from.
Exactly. Whether you want to sell it, pass it on.
So for our listeners out there, what are the big takeaways?
Okay, so first, figure out what your product is. What do you do so well that you could turn it into a system?
Find that niche, right?
Right. Then think about your business like a product. Even if you're selling a service, package it, brand it, price it like a product.
And don't forget about charging up front.
Game changer. Then you need the right team, people who can sell that product. And don't be afraid to say no to projects that don't fit.
Even if they seem lucrative.
It's about the long game. And then, of course, build that moat.
Your competitive advantage, right?
What makes you unique.
And lastly, get yourself a good advisor. Someone who's been there, done that. So much great advice. We've only scratched the surface of this book.
So much more in there, yeah.
Built to Sell is a must read for anyone thinking about their exit strategy.
Even if you're not planning to sell right now, it's got so many great tips for building a stronger business.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into Built to Sell.
Hope you enjoyed it.
We'll be back soon with another deep dive into a different topic. Until then, happy building.